Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Oh, wow.
You're simply the best. Better than all the rest.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4. Hey, ho, let's go.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
And once again, it's nice to be with you on this final round of the regular NRL season, round 19, then heading into the finals. Some great stuff for you, including I'm always very excited when the name Mal Meninga is on the team sheet, and we will be chatting to him later in the day. He's got a pretty happy story, I'd imagine, with the performance of the Titans as well. We'll get there. I'm with Nathan Brown, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler. My name is Tony Squire. Welcome to you all.
Hey, Tony. Hello, everyone.
Before we're going to get into the game in a minute, but I just there's two numbers, 60 and 8. Did anybody anywhere see that coming, South Sydney over the Roosters? Brownie, when you were watching that, did you think, yeah, this is a possibility?
No, that was not a possibility. I don't think it was a possibility for anyone to beat the Roosters 60-8. It's not what we've seen from the Roosters. Obviously, they've been the most dominant side in the competition for the past 2 years.
Yep.
And what was most surprising to me was is that after 10, like when a score like that happens, it's generally from the start of the contest.
Yep.
But the start of the contest, the first 10 minutes, the Roosters scored a try, had a try disallowed, and were quite dominant. Where when you see a score like that, it's generally the opposition just haven't turned up at all.
Yep.
Where, you know, the Roosters
turned up and only stayed for 10 minutes.
Well, obviously, that's their edges got pulled apart, didn't they, by Cody Walker?
Yeah.
And Cody in the past 6 weeks has probably been the best player in the game. But it'll be interesting to see how the Roosters regroup from here. But it was certainly the Roosters have saved their best performances in the past few years under Trent Robinson. But this time of the year, I've never seen him ever put in an average type of performance, coming into finals. It's the first time I've actually seen it. And I'm sure that, Trent Robinson and his staff would have been surprised at what they saw too.
I think they'll obviously be concerned about that, Tone, but I think they'll just sort of push that to the side and get on into the finals. Their biggest concern is the health of some of their players.
Push that to the side.
It's a setback. But, with the quality of the group that they have and the experience they have, I mean, they'll get over that and move on. Their biggest concern, I believe, is Jake Friend and how he, whether it's, I don't know, the reports are that there's damage. If the damage is what it's reported to be, he might miss the first 3 weeks of the finals. Now,
so there was a head clash early in the game for those who didn't see it, and it looks like there may be some cheekbone issues. That is the concern.
They've got young Lussick and young Lamb there. Both of those guys have a limited amount of experience and no finals experience. So with Victor already on the sidelines, they're going to need Jake there, and if he's not there, I think that's their big concern heading into the next couple of weeks.
The biggest problem for the top four sides that lose week one of the finals, two of the form sides in the competition in the past 6 weeks have been Canberra Raiders, who are fifth, and South Sydney, who have run sixth. I mean, South had the little game against Canterbury where they were ordinary, but the month before that, they were very good. And to do what they did to the Roosters, them and Canberra are going to be going in with a hell of a confidence.
Though,
isn't it? It's great. No, yeah. It's actually great that there's two teams there that are actually coming into the finals where the top sides will be going, if we're playing these two sides in a sudden death game, it's going to be tough business.
Yeah. It's legitimately a six-horse race now, isn't it? Really, you can say that, with the Sharks and the Knights probably not showing enough at this point, but those two sides you spoke about, Brownie, and the back of that performance last night, I mean, the legitimate hopes.
They ticked off a few very unwanted stats, the Roosters. So no side has ever gone on to win the comp after conceding 50 points. But then again, no side really had done what they did last year. So I think they can, as you said, Gerds, push it to the side, and I don't think it's going to, damage their finals campaign too much. But, worst loss ever under Robbo as well. So,
all right, we're going to get to that in more detail in a second. But, Em, you've got plans this evening, Tigers and Eels. Benji's last game for the Tigers. Big bro Chris's last game in the NRL. What are the plans for the Lawrence family?
We're going to the game. We've got 50 tickets. So it'll be really nice. Lots of my family, Catherine's family, his wife, lots of his friends as well, and some from school. And it'll be good too because a lot of them we haven't seen, so it'll be good to celebrate. And obviously they've been in the bubble, so he hasn't been able to see family and friends for such a long time. So, yeah, it'll be – speaking to him this morning, he's not – doesn't seem sad. He's content with the decision. He's excited for what the future holds. And but I think I'll get I think I'll be quite emotional. So my sister and I will be on the ground. We get to hold the banner as he runs out. So
really?
Got approval. So we just have to do the gloves and the mask and all the COVID protocols. But yeah, I think
have you built the banner yourselves?
Absolutely.
Okay. What's
I don't know. No, we didn't. I assume it's a Tigers thing, but we've got t-shirts as well. The Tigers got some t-shirts made up. So some t-shirts with Chris scoring a try and his signature. So yeah, it'll be a nice night.
Oh, that is great.
They're a hope too, the Tigers, I reckon.
Let's you think?
They're a hope tonight, yeah.
I hope so, but I mean...
Well, it changes the makeup of the top four if the Eels win.
I hope they're a...
You
hope they're a hope?
I hope they're a hope. the other game is a look at that Tie Power scoreboard. The Knights, as we mentioned, they're a little bit of a hole they've fallen into. The Titans, who have just been great, 5 in a row, 36 points to 6. The only terrible spot that came out of that game last night was the allegation from Tyrone Peachy of racial abuse towards him from a Knights player. Now, we're going to get to that in some detail a little bit later on. The NRL, I understand, is going, as they should and as they must, will be following through exactly what happened there. It's just something that cannot be allowed to happen in our game. So we'll get there next, though. As we said, it is the Roosters. Again, I'll say that score to you from the Tyre Power scoreboard. 60-8, South Sydney over the Roosters. This is the Saturday Scrum doing it for King G. Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon, leading on up to kick off 3 o'clock. The Bulldogs taking on the Panthers. Can the Panthers go through the season with just one lonely defeat? Look, very much likely. All right, South Sydney over the Roosters, 60 points to 8, an absolutely ludicrous scoreline nobody saw coming. But what does that mean for the campaign with the Roosters, with their attempt to go back-to-back-to-back, the famous three-peat? Can it happen? How does that dent your confidence if you've been beaten? By the end of that game, Nathan Brown, it was just school kids playing footy, just running around, and that was a famous defence unit this Roosters have had. They were all at sea.
Yeah, it's as I said, I think we're all surprised, and I think... You know, probably most surprised would be, you know, Trent Robbo and Fitzy and the staff and the playing group, especially the senior playing group. But it's certainly not ideal. And I've never seen a Roosters side, you know, play like that in the past sort of period of time. Not obviously take the score away, but this time of the year, you know, they've always been very, very at somewhere near their best this time of year, like really purring into the finals. But, you know, they'll bring Joey Manu back next week and they'll have the... You know, the same sort of back line that they've had all year that's full of very, very gifted players, and with Boydie Cord and all the pack all back fit and playing well again, they'll come out whoever they play next week, and I'm sure they'll know they can get the job done. But I do agree with Gerds, the hooking position, you know, with Sam Verrills being injured, Victor Adley being injured, and now if Nathan Friend, Jake Friend is injured, you know, that would be a concern for the club because if they go in with a rookie hooker, and in young Flenning, and they've got a rookie half, they've got two rookies in key positions, and they're both going to be learning their trade in finals footy, which could make it difficult.
Would you go with Freddie Lussick or Lachlan Lamb?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know enough about either of them at dummy half well enough myself to make actually an educated guess there, but I'm sure they'll have a good plan there, the Roosters, which they'll bring into play.
I like the way Lussick's looked over the last couple of weeks when he's had opportunities. I like the fact, and I think we saw it a little bit with Newcastle too last night. I thought Randall was really good for Newcastle against the Dragons the week before. Obviously, different result. And Kurt Mann is a wonderful utility. But and Brownie, you know, like growing up, learning your craft, if you're a dummy half, you're seeing things and you're learning things and you've got experience in those positions. And at key moments in games, it's instinct that takes over. And I think sometimes, you know, I saw that with Randall, and I think they looked a lot more fluent last week with him at dummy half. And Kurt Mann, who tries his best every week but sometimes can look a little clunky, as he did last night out of dummy half. And it's same might be for young Lamb. He's come up as a half through his juniors, to throw him at dummy half with that sort of workload and without that experience at any sort of level might be a little bit too much. Lussick's look kind of good, but it's a problem they just don't want to have to fix.
And when you get to the stage where you go, yeah, the number one hooker is Jake Friend, the number two hooker is Sam Verrills is an outstanding young player who started the grand final last year. Then your third string hooker is Victor Adley, who again is an outstanding player and going to at some stage play Origin and rep football. So this is what happens with a squad. If you lose your three players in that key position, the next bloke, we can't expect him to be of high standard. You actually expect him to be a younger player who doesn't have any experience, and that's what you've got to go to. And it'll make, obviously, the pressure on Luke Keary and Tedesco, obviously, there'll be a little bit more responsibility on those blokes who are both outstanding players.
Maybe a blessing, too, that they had injuries earlier on, that Freddie Lussick actually got some game footy. Time exactly, because he wouldn't have, because there's no reserve grade, wouldn't have played footy in about five months. So, I know players, coaches have rotated players in to get them game time, but maybe a bit of a blessing they had those injuries. So at least he's played NRL level, was pretty solid. And I guess hopefully Jake Friend isn't out for too long, but it's looking at the moment like a fractured cheekbone. The Roosters
have had some rotten luck, hasn't he, Jake Friend? And look, I don't know, everybody's talked about Harry Grant, but he would have been certainly in the conversation for a State of Origin, which he hasn't played. He's been in and around that for a long time now, you'd hate for injury to make him miss
But they'll bring back Joey Manu on. They got cut up down that right side defensively, and even though they had some experience there with Orbison, they had young Flanagan on the inside, and his confidence wouldn't be high after that. But then they put Joey Manu, who's a great defensive centre and one of the best defensive wingers over the last 20 years in Brett Morris.
Yeah, it'll help solve some problems.
That's going to shore up that side. The other side's pretty solid. As funny as it sounds, it's not going to take a lot for the Roosters to get their complement back, get some confidence around the training paddock. And I think the biggest loser in all this has been Penrith, to be honest.
The fact that they're playing the Roosters next week,
which
probably.
Which is a game that they look, and you've seen a lot of the top sides that, you know, have put themselves in a wonderful position, being able to rest players this weekend. Mm-hmm. Penrith haven't, and I think that decision would be on the fact of, well, they've had high possession and they've dominated a lot of games, so the workload probably hasn't been there for the 80 minutes, and that's been a bonus. They haven't had a lot of injuries, they haven't done a lot of travel, all of that, but I think they've probably also planned, and you've got to plan these things with confidence, to probably have a good win today, beat Parramatta next week, and then give everyone a week off before the prelim final. I would say if I was a coach, that would be my planning.
Because
I would
the permutations mean that if Parramatta beat the Tigers this evening, that would mean that they jump the Roosters,
the Roosters play Penrith and win one. Yeah, I believe at this point of the year, that's a much tougher assignment for Penrith.
Even
than
off
Parramatta.
The back of a 60-8 hiding.
Yes, I do.
Wow.
Yeah.
But look what a difference a week can make. South lost to the Bulldogs last week. And then, one week...
And Newcastle flogged the Dragons last week.
Yeah.
And it's a long time in rugby league, Tony.
As disappointed as Trent Robinson would have been last night and probably still is today, I don't think he's going to go and overly analyse that game to a great length, because he knows that his players can deliver, and they've delivered for him for the last 2 years, and they've always delivered in big games, in finals games, you know. So their bounce-back factor, I agree with Gerds.
They had people like Cooper Cronk. Flanagan's a young kid. I mean, there's slightly different questions around this side than there was last year, isn't there?
Yeah, but we're talking about the defence here, aren't we? The defensive part of it. So, you know, young Cole's done a pretty reasonable job defensively for him when the whole group's working together. And as Gerd said, when you put Joey Manu back out there and you put Brett Morris back out there, that'll pretty much shore that edge up, and that'll help the young kid out a lot as well.
All right, you mentioned him. Let's have a listen to what the coach had to say. Here's Trent Robinson.
Yeah, it hurts a lot. Very embarrassing for us. You know, in the end, it's sort of my job to get the guys prepared, ready to play and perform well. You know, it just didn't do that. So, you know, we've got to take our medicine and it really hurts. They didn't become poor footy players overnight. You know, we got huge lessons there, so take them on board. But, yeah, get back to our footy ASAP.
All right, well, they're the Roosters. What about South Sydney? What did they take out of that? Obviously, it was just an amazing win for them. The attack was terrific across the back, and Cody Walker was sensational. He has been for a little while now. He just absolutely nailed it.
They looked like sort of under eights, didn't they, where they're just having an absolute ball, even towards the end, where I think it was Corey Allen passed it to Alex Johnston so he could get try number five, I think, or that one might
that was
have
number
been
four.
Okay,
that
four.
Was to draw even with Kyle Felt. What do we make of this? I mean, the idea, poor old Kyle Felt,
it.
He's finished.
Well, Kyle, you made
Felt,
a try.
Kyle Felt is there as the top try scorer in the season. So then they sit there and wait, pass the ball back for Alex Johnston to draw level with him. I mean, that's not...
I love that. Why don't you like it?
Because I think if you're Kyle Felt, you know, you've earned every try rather than having it gifted to you. You don't
well,
want
Alex somebody... Johnson was there in support. So if he wasn't there supporting, I think he tripped over.
I know.
And then he got back up and was chasing. So he was rewarding. He was rewarded for that.
Then he scores another try to go past Kyle Felt to actually now be the leading try scorer in the competition. I don't know. Are you happy with
that scenario?
It's been
a tough year for Alex Johnson too. Thought he wasn't going to re-sign. Eventually did get a contract extension with the Bunnies. But he's the heart and soul of the club. So I loved seeing that.
I honestly don't know how I feel about it, Tony, to be honest. It's something I don't think I've ever seen before. A guy get over the line. But what blew me away was the ease, and they kind of knew that they were going to, like, he got the try before, and records aren't usually a thing that, as a play, you know too much about during a game, but obviously they were well aware of where he sat, but he went in a couple of tries behind. What was he, four tries behind? So you're probably not going in with a game plan thinking, and it's evolving as it happens, but then when they got themselves into that position in the middle of the field on that penalty with a couple of minutes to go, you just knew as a fan, as just watching, that they were going to pull that side open again and find a way for him to score a try. Writing was on the wall. It was so weird. And they're playing the Roosters.
It was extraordinary. We should have a listen. Wayne Bennett actually spoke about that. Have a listen.
I've seen a lot of things in football, but I don't know if I've ever seen a supporter as unselfish at that last moment. But if you don't think they know the stats and you don't think they know what's going on, then you're kidding yourself as well, because obviously they all knew he was equal try scorer at the time, or going to be equal try scorer. It was a wonderful moment in sport, actually. That's what makes sport great to me.
Just moments before that, Vossi on commentary had said that he'd seen Martin Afaya. Yeah. There was a game where he scored 10 tries, and after the ninth try, just watching the teammates trying to arrange for him to score the 10th, which Gene Miles did, making the breakthrough and just slowing down to a walk until Martin caught up with him and gave him the ball for the try. You know, what do you think about it, Brownie?
Yeah, look, it's an unselfish act. And, you know, if you have a leading try scorer in your club, you have the leading try scorer as a club, there's a lot of people that contribute to that, don't they? To Alex Johnson becoming the leading try scorer. So it's a nice, I suppose, nice reward of teamwork. If your winger is the leading try scorer, there's a lot of people on the inside that are helping contribute that. So I think from that point of view, I think the unselfishness is great. But if Wayne hadn't seen it, I'm not sure there's too many people alive that would have seen it, because Wayne's been going for longer than the rest of us, hadn't he? So I'm not sure anyone would have seen it. But just on South Sydney, you know, you take the Canterbury game away, what we've seen from South in the past sort of 6 weeks is that their good's good enough.
Yep.
Their problem's been, have they been able to play good enough for long enough? And if they play good enough for long enough, they showed last night what they can do, and that's going to be South Sydney's challenge in the finals. If they can keep their good football for longer periods, they showed last night they can beat anyone.
I thought the most impressive thing last night was the reaction they got when they started, and they didn't start well, from their senior players, Cody Walker, Adam Reynolds, when they knew they were off the pace, their ability to turn that moment against a side like the Roosters and then go on with it. Also, the development of Corey Allen, you know, that was a big hole to fill. It was a big hole left by Luttrell, and he certainly hasn't overplayed his hand. And I actually thought when that happened that, you know, Alex Johnston would have gone back to fullback, because we've seen him play in that role before. But, you know, Wayne made the tough call and he stuck with him. And the first couple of weeks he was okay, but he gets better and better. And he's shown us now he's got a nice set of hands. He put a lovely kick in for a try last night. He's full of confidence and he's doing a wonderful job in probably one of the most important positions on the field. So anyone that said, you know, you cross the Rabbitohs out because Luttrell's not there anymore, well, you can get a little bit of liquid paper and get rid of that, because Corey Allen's doing a wonderful job back there.
What about with Cody Walker? He was so good. 2 tries, I think 4 try assists. We know he's played Origin before, then got dropped after, I think, only the first game, or potentially had 2.
Yeah, no, 1 game.
1 game. Would you have him? He'd be in the squad.
Would he?
Would he be in the squad?
Would he be in your squad?
He'd have to be. It's a 27-man squad.
Oh, look, my halves, you know, he's a
Keary
wonderful player.
Cleary.
But I think, you know, Luke Keary just hasn't had the opportunity to show us what he can do at that level yet. At representative level, we've seen what he does in finals and big games. Obviously, wasn't great last night, but him and Cleary would be my halves. Whether or not you can carry another sort of half that doesn't really go into the dummy half role that often on the bench is another thing, but he's a wonderful player, and I don't think there's too many better players to watch in the game when they're in the groove, and he was in the groove yesterday.
I would have thought in a squad of 27, you'd have to take another genuine half into your squad, because if you lost one and you didn't have one, you're pretty much putting a line through yourself for the next Origin, pretty much. So I reckon they'll carry a third one.
The bunker, obviously, every week, every game gets mentioned. A couple of decisions that people weren't completely happy with.
There was a couple of bad decisions, Tony. The Campbell Graham decision I thought was an awful decision.
But it's not,
and so was the other one with Nichols. You know, they set it up as a no try, and the ball bounced off. It looked like Luke Keary's shoulder, and they got there and scored it first, and it went up as a no try. But there was, I thought there was enough evidence to see that
based on the on field no try, they have to have absolute evidence that it didn't touch.
But that Corey,
his hand.
that Graham call was an awful one.
It's an interpretation, isn't it? He thinks that he's
it's a bad interpretation. He scored the try.
I think Gus
Brownie,
called
what
it
did
disgusting.
You think? Did you think he scored the try? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I thought it was try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got to get them right, Tone, in the finals. We've got to get them right. I think Brownie was was going off at the rest last week saying how inconsistent they've been.
That's not a right or wrong.
I'm pretty sure
that was you saying that, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't me. I've been talking about it. I think the refs have been doing.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, we're actually not talking. Again, we're not talking about the refs, the ones that are on field making live decisions. We're talking about the bunker again. It's not. The actual referees have done a great job.
This is the man who's about to become a coach again.
Actually, I think Gerds last week, it was on the rundown for Gerds to bag out the refs, and he chickened out and said the refs have been doing a great job.
Doing a great job. Well, yeah. I agree with Brownie. Great job on field. Some of the bunker decisions have been pretty ordinary.
We'll quickly update you next on what's going on with that the vile racial vilification of Tyrone Peachy. That's next. Plus, how well the Titans are playing, thrashing the Knights 36-6 on the Saturday scrum.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Lovely to have your company, Brownie. Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdle, Tony Squires with you. Shortly we'll get to the sensational part of the game last night, the Titans and the Knights, the Titans' performance, and a little bit later on we'll talk to Mal Meninga. But some ugliness that came out of that game, ugliness that we had hoped would be gone from our game, but continues to raise its head. Tyrone Peachy claiming that he was racially vilified by a Newcastle player. Now, he approached the referee, Chris Sutton, and spoke to him. Just have a listen to how that played out.
Oi. Beg your pardon? Hey, Tyrone. Can you switch, mate? Tyrone! Mate, if you want to make a complaint, tell us who it is and we'll deal with it now. Tyrone, I need you to tell me if you want to go off it or not. Do you want to deal with it or not, mate? Okay, we can't go on with it any further then.
I can hear from that Tyrone Peachy decided not to continue on the field with that and so moved back to his playing position. Questions that are raised, Chris Sutton, the referee, did he deal with that in the appropriate manner? I think he did. I think what he was saying in terms of nothing further can happen. He's talking about, don't on the field, we don't want niggling going on and fighting going on or whatever it may be. But he's not saying that that's something that can't be dealt with, and it must be dealt with. And we understand the NRL is investigating. What did you make of Chris Sutton's role? You were happy with what he had to do?
Well, they must have protocols in place to deal with racism and things like that on the field. So I guess he was just probably trying to tick those boxes because there's a lot of moving parts on in a situation like that. I'm not sure what those protocols are. I don't think over the last couple of years, I've seen anyone sent off or sin-binned or whatever it may be for that sort of behaviour, but it's not on. It's totally unacceptable. I thought it was out of our game, to be honest. And the NRL now, Tyrone's done all that I believe he needs to do. He's brought it to the attention of the officials. And now the NRL need to go on with that and make sure that that's stamped out. And if someone's guilty of that, they should be stamped out for the rest of the season.
Correct.
Shouldn't take part. If it's a Newcastle player and he's meant to be involved in the final series, they just rub him out for the rest of the season. It's unacceptable. And we've got to get it out of our game.
And I think it's hard for it to be in Tyrone Peachy's hands as well, don't you think? In the heat of the moment,
he's done
to say
what he needed to do.
Yeah, at least everyone knew that it happened and now the NRL can investigate because it's a tough one for Tyrone Peachy to then be going out and calling out a player from another team because, I mean, obviously he wants to stand up against racism, but he'd also be hesitant because we've seen in the past when
games issue now.
Yeah, it is.
I think Tyrone's brought to the attention of the officials. It's there and he might need to go in and speak to someone, but then I think the game need to pick it up and run with it.
Yeah, it's a very tough thing for these guys to call it out and a very brave thing to
especially
do.
Especially with another player. It's not a fan who's called it out. I think that's what the difference is.
That's with Maiden before. That was with fans, obviously. But it is it's a tough thing for Tyrone to, you know, and Brave, as I said, he's already said it there, but to push it further. But I'm sure if asked then in an investigation, he may well come forward and talk about it.
I'm sure he's going to have to talk about it, basically, because I think at some stage the Gold Coast are going to have to put out a statement, aren't they? And the Knights will put out a statement as well. And, you know, whilst one person said this was said, there's going to be other people that were in and around that tackle who would have heard what was said. So I'd be interested to see what those people say that was said, because Herman Essiesi was actually, is a person of dark skin. He was in and around it too. So it'd be interesting to see what actually come out of the person's mouth, because sometimes in the heat of the battle, things can be misinterpreted. You know, it can actually happen. You know, so, but we certainly don't want any form of racism anywhere, not only in rugby league, but, you know, bringing up your kids at schools, it doesn't matter where it is. Yeah, it's not something anyone likes, but.
And look, we don't know yet what may be heard on, you know, whether the Fox or Nine, whoever has that audio, whether in fact the incident itself could be heard. What we heard, but then was the afterwards when describing it. But perhaps that will also come forward, which would be terrific because it'd clear up a lot. But as we say, it just has to be stamped out completely from the game. We'll get to the game itself next on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Type our scoreboard tells me the Titans defeated the Knights 36-6. There was plenty to play for Newcastle. Prime among them was a home final, and Nathan Brown, you know better than anybody how important that is to Newcastle and to the team. A great place to play footy in front of a home crowd. It's just staggering the kind of performance they put on when that was what was on offer.
Yeah, there's a lot on offer, and I think, you know, Adam O'Brien's probably biggest, I suppose, beef with his side at the moment is their good and bad's probably sort of got a fair gap in it, I suppose, and that'd probably be the thing that had probably concerned him most coming into the finals. And, you know, not getting a home final, you know, certainly doesn't rule the Knights out of the equation, but playing at home with the crowds being allowed back in certainly does help a little.
Yeah, well, let's have a listen to him. In fact, he was asked about that, Adam O'Brien, the coach, about whether he's concerned about the team's inconsistency.
It's a huge concern. Consumes a lot of my thoughts at the moment. And moving forward, it's something that I need to address, whether it's through the summer. But again, that's not going to help me next week. Hopefully, following the trend, we're on the up next week, the way that we're going at the moment. But yeah, it's a big concern. It's my number one focus to fix that consistency. And I don't believe it's got anything to do with player capability. It's between the ears. I've got to fix that.
Yeah, and he certainly does need to do it before summer, given that they are playing some finals footy. Last week, they thrashed the Dragons, but let's be honest, the Dragons have been just awful. But the performance, and that's not taking anything away from the Titans. We'll get to them in a moment. But for Newcastle, we talked about the Roosters. Yes, they can come back. For the Knights, is it goodbye for them?
Well, they're coming up against the Rabbits.
Yeah.
Yes. So I guess a couple of weeks ago, it's probably a different conversation, but going on form of this weekend, the Rabbits at home are going to be probably one of the hardest games of the weekend in the first round of the finals. So, you know, you can talk about the injuries and some of the inconsistencies they've had with positions. You know, we spoke about the Nine before with Kurt Mann, obviously filling in there. You've got Mason Lenore, who's gone into the Six. They haven't been able to really build any of those combinations throughout the year, but wasn't so much about there's certain ways, you know, I guess you'll win and lose footy games. But yesterday, it was all attitude against the Titans, and it was a short turnaround, and sides don't want to use that as an excuse. But, yeah, but they look flat. They come up against a red-hot, confident Titans side that I think from the second set of six attacked them from their own end and scored a try. And Titans, it's not a place you go, you know, at the back end of this year and think you're going to come away with an easy 2 points and or it's not a game you can go into and think, oh, we're playing a semi next week. We'll just get the job done here tonight. They're a side that you need to prepare for, go out and play well against. And the Knights did anything but that yesterday.
I think the not getting the home final as well makes such a difference for Newcastle more than any other team, because going there, doing sideline at all the different grounds, and it's something, well, Brownie, you would know it. It's like no other club. That home ground there, it is. When they score a try, it's as if they've won a grand final. Yes. Like, they get behind it like no other supporters
and
do.
And they would have got behind it even more because of the fact that it's been a long time for the finals footy hasn't been a part of the Knights for a long, long time. So to actually get a home final, I'd imagine it would have been the first home final for the Knights in a long, long time, I would have thought.
Yep.
So the fans would have certainly got behind it, that's for sure.
All right, some names here in the Titans football team. Brian Kelly, his attack was sensational. We've talked before about Ash Taylor, and he's had an up-and-down ride, hasn't he? But the back end of the season, the last few games, it's absolutely clicking. He looks happy with how he's playing. He looks good and fit. And then a boy named AJ Brimson, who scored two spectacular tries, particularly that second try with the footwork, getting through 8, 12, 15 players. He ran around and around. Didn't get touched eventually.
They're a joy to watch, Tony.
Yeah.
They really are. We saw in the middle of the year they started sort of developing an identity where they like to spread the football. They played with a lot of confidence. The addition of Fogarty, I just don't think can be understated, and what that's allowed Taylor to be able to do. Brimson probably hasn't played enough footy this year. I think Justin Holbrook got on in the press conference last night and said if he'd played more games, we'd be in the finals because he means that much to that footy side. But his ability as a coach to get the best out of some of these players that have just laid dormant for 3 or 4 years, and without trying to sound too harsh, but, you know, Tyrone Peachy's found his place there at 13. He's keeping Jai Arrow out of the side. He's playing that well, and everyone knows about Ash Taylor and the way that he's been able to sort of offload some of his responsibility and get the best out of him. And guys like Tanana Pace, some journeyman. Brian Kelly, I always thought he was good when he was at Manly. But some consistent footy was what he needed. He was outstanding again yesterday. And they've got some good young forwards coming through. It's an up-and-about place at the moment, the Gold Coast. They had, I don't think I've heard a vocal fan base like that up in the Gold Coast since Wally was playing for the Seagulls. I mean, I know they had some success in 7 and 8 or whatever it was, and they might have made the finals in 14. But they were having a ball. It was party time on the Gold Coast yesterday. They loved it. It was so good.
Yeah, I thought... probably the couple of things that have really stood out for me with the Coast the back end of the year is obviously Ash Taylor. I thought, and I think most people thought, and I would have thought, plenty of people, the Titans would have thought, 2 years what he went through and mentally he was taking time out of the game. I wondered myself whether he'd ever get back to where he was. And when you got a bloke earning $1 million, if he's not playing any good, that causes a lot of problems for your roster, you know? So the achievement to get him mentally back to where he needed to be and to be playing, as Gurgis said, with a smile on his face is a great achievement. And the Jamal Fogarty has probably helped play a part in that. So the coach identifying that Ashley Taylor is probably better as a six and having someone else to lump the responsibility of steering the team around, you know, has been, you know, a great, great coaching tactic. Yeah, I think it's been great. And, you know, young Fogarty, you know, was a very good Q Cup player for a number of years, went to Parramatta, for whatever reason didn't work out. Went back to the Q Cup to Burley, won another comp with Burley Bears, and then he's looking like an NRL player.
Do you think AJ Brimson is in with a chance for that utility spot?
He's an outstanding player, in AJ Brimson. And AJ Brimson is doing the back end of the year what Justin or people who have watched him play would have probably expected him to do if he was fit earlier in the year. And when you got one like that, and he's a local boy, you certainly want to make sure you look after him and keep him in your club long term.
I think they finished ninth. And next year, with the players coming, being added to that roster, look like they're absolute threat for finals. Under my wildcard system, Gerds, they would be there this
which
year.
Which is what?
I mooted the wildcard a couple of years ago when the Dragons were playing terrible and fell into the finals, and Canberra were a couple of points outside. And I said, well, just swap them. Just people,
well,
you know.
And well, Gold Coast are playing better than a couple of sides in the 80s.
Thank
minute,
you.
Yeah.
So they I'm wildcarding.
You've actually come up with an idea I actually agree with.
I'm wildcarding the Sharks, maybe, you know, the Knights perhaps, but the Sharks, are, you know, they've just fallen in.
That would have been great. The Tigers would have made the finals every year for the last decade.
No. They only go in if they're a team in form and deserve the place. Certainly the Titans.
So it's not really a wild card then, is it?
You're just calling it a wild selection then. It's not a wild card.
He's going to pick a team. It's Tony's wild card.
You're playing well, so you get to play a wild card.
Thank you. It's like my socks.
But the NRL floated an idea, Tony, and I thought it had some merit.
Well, on the back of my wild card.
Maybe it was, But
it was.
Last year they spoke about it, and everyone got a little bit hot and uptight about it, but it was the top 10. But I think you could change that because people said, oh, you don't want to reward mediocrity. But if you had a top six and you said, okay, you get in the top six, you get the first week of the finals off, and then you play, you know, 7 through to 10 in a knockout format, so the broadcasters are still happy. The clubs in the top six get rewarded through the weekend off, which is what everyone's trying to give their team at the moment anyway. I don't think there's a loser. Then what you do is you take the sides that have just sort of, you know, fumbled their way into the eight the bottom part of the eight, and you take a couple of sides that would be like the Titans, who are on a roll, won five in a row, and be hard to beat in a finals.
The Titans and
campaign.
The Warriors, the two people's clubs.
The Warriors are another team that would, you know, would have earned the right to play in the finals. Not that the other clubs haven't; they've done some work throughout the year to make sure that they're there. But I like it. I think it would add a nice bit of excitement to the back end of the year. What do you think, Brownie?
No, I can't argue with what you said there, Gerdsy. It provides something for the fans and players to still want to achieve, rather than having sort of this dead rubber games of footy and dead wood sort of running around for the sake of playing another game for another week, waiting for the end of the year to come. It certainly provides some entertainment. And sometimes there is a side that's had real bad luck. And, you know, and as Justin Holbrook said, I don't know, a lot of sides have gone through some injuries, but when you're a club that's trying to grow and develop into a finals team, losing an AJ Brimson has a far bigger impact on your club than it does a club like the Storm or Roosters, because they're so powerful and been so good for so long. So, you know, to see the Gold Coast play next week, the way they're playing, the style of footy they're playing,
great.
I think we would all like to watch them play next week.
So absolutely.
It's got some great merit.
For the broadcasters too, I know when they floated the idea last year and had a media briefing and they brought up all of the viewership for games where it was a dead rubber, and it was just crazy how the ratings change. If your team is still in finals contention, you're still watching, it's crazy. So it's huge for the broadcasters.
And top it all off, with the 15 plays 16 for the Wooden Spoon. It just writes itself.
And then you wear the socks.
Come up with one idea for the day, all right? Leave it there.
My work here is done.
All right, don't come up with another one, all right?
What was the sock one? You wear the socks of the team you're playing for next year.
Just so people know. It's just a great
absolute rat bag.
No, speaking of rat bags, the great Mel Meninga joins us next on the Saturday Scrum.
Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Love to have a company on this Saturday afternoon. Plenty of action. Stirler will join us at 2 o'clock. It's the Bulldogs and Panthers kickoffs at 3 at ANZ Stadium. Then, of course, later this evening, the Tigers taking on the Eels. Very important game now for the Eels there. And for the Tigers, of course, Benji Marshall leaving, as well as Chris Lawrence. Right now, though, we've already talked about how terrific the Titans were, 36 points to 6 winners over the Knights. And what is always a joy and a privilege to speak with the great Mel Meninga. Mel, g'day.
Hey, Tony, how are you? Thank you very much.
Very, very well, thank you.
Please, come on.
Yeah, no, I know you don't love the build-up, but I'm giving it to you anyway.
thank you.
Before we get to the performance of the Titans, which was just sensational, were you as shocked and stunned as everybody else with the Roosters at 60-8 scoreline?
Yeah, I mean, I'm here with Cooper Cronk, and we're just talking about how the Roosters got off to a pretty fast start, and we're thinking, well, how many? And all of a sudden, you know, something happened. We're not quite sure what happened. Cody Walker got in the zone, and he was complete master last night. And, yeah, what a great victory for South. And I don't think it'd affect the Roosters too much in their preparation going into finals. You know, I think it'd be a big soul-searching week for Trent and his team. But, you know, I think they'll come back out of it pretty well.
Mel, Nathan Brown, mate. How are you?
Good, thanks, Brownie.
Anything you seem to touch in rugby league seems to turn to gold, Mel. The salary cap,
mate. You're the Warriors, mate.
the salary cap's a very challenging thing. It's people with a lot of experience. It can be still difficult. Something, obviously, you didn't experience coaching Origin. What have you found real challenging with the salary cap, managing that? What's been the hardest part for you?
Just that. You know, getting a feel for the players. And having a look at the depth of the roster, I guess. But what we tried to do, Brownie, was, you know, obviously we can't do much with changing the roster at the top. So we did a lot of soul searching and a lot of searching amongst players to get our bottom of our roster, fairly strong. So the players we bring in, obviously they're not on the big money, but we all know that they're going to be, you know, great representatives of the club. They can all play first grade. So I think the depth of the squad is really important. So we sort of built from the bottom up. And then obviously wait until the money starts to become available before you start to, you know, you buy your top end players again, those core guys that you need to build your roster around.
And with David Fifita, like with where you're sitting obviously at the time when you first started talking to him, did you generally think you were a real good chance of getting him, or did you think you were sort of at first sort of having a stab but not likely?
Obviously, we knew the roster, and you know, I think like Trent Barrett's a really good case in point with Canterbury. You know, players coming off contract. You know how much money you're going to have in the contract in your roster, you know, going forward, and then you sort of make some really tough decisions around obviously retention strategy before you get into the recruitment strategy. You know, so I like to think, Brownie, that your retention strategy becomes your number one priority once you sort of start getting the roster right. But you know, through that, you've obviously there's a bit of tough decisions you've got to do. And I think, you know, Trent's making some really tough decisions, freeing up some cap money so that you can start buying the players that meet the characteristics and the DNA of the club.
Hey, Mal, it's Emma Lawrence. We were chatting before about not just how well Ash Taylor is playing, but the fact that he seems to be just enjoying his footy and playing with a smile on his face. What's your relationship? I mean, are you always in regular contact, having chats with him? And what do you think potentially has been, what can you put that turnaround down to?
Oh, I think it's around the coaches and the coaching staff. You know, Justin's had a really strong impact on Ash. You know, so Justin's got this really optimistic outlook on footy. He loves his players to play footy. He backs them. He, you know, backs their judgment. He wants them to play footy. And Justin's got that, and the team and the coaches have got that demeanour now around optimism and, you know, being really positive the way they play footy. And I think that that rubs off on the players and exudes. And all of a sudden, when you start to, you know, play that optimism and that positivity and things start to work for you, all of a sudden you build your confidence. And from confidence, there's belief, and then belief, you know, in each other, and then the team starts to function better, you know. So I think it comes from the leadership group, and in our case with the Titans, it's all to do with the coach and the coaching staff.
And now then the community buys in, and then the members come back, and it just looked like a real good time up there last night.
Yeah, no, it's bubbling on really nicely. And, you know, I mean, when you talk about, Brownie mentioned it, you know, around recruitment and retention, I mean, it's a whole of club thing. It's what the, you know, it's what your membership drive is happening, what your commercial outcomes are, all your community programs, your junior programs, it all connects. It starts to build up, you know, puts everyone on the same page, and all of a sudden it starts to function really well, and you got a happy environment.
And what's it look like, Mal, from a junior perspective up there?
Very strong.
Got some good systems in place?
Yeah, so junior Titan systems, the first thing we really worked on. And I said before, you know, it's not only your roster, but you try to build from the bottom up, and that, you know, in band retention as opposed to recruitment, all our kids in our region now are starting to, you know, think twice about moving on, you know, so which is great. You know, we've signed, you know, a lot of local kids coming through, but not only Northern Rivers and Tweed area, but obviously the Gold Coast and into that Brisbane corridor as well. So, you know, we're starting to look pretty good from around our junior base as well. And, you know, we're Burley Bears. Our affiliates are really strong. Burley won it last year. Tweed made the finals as well, you know, under 18. Melmaninga Cup up there, we won that. And we won the Andrew Johns Trophy last year as well. So with our Northern Rivers under 16 side. So, you know, things are bubbling on nicely.
In terms of that and the community embracing it, because it has long been thought of as kind of the Bermuda Triangle for footy teams, but you know, you come from Canberra where it's very polycodal, lots of competition from different codes going on, trying to get that, the people loving your footy team, there's a lot to love right now. How do you think that's going?
I think it's going well. It's on the back of success, Tony. You know, as everyone knows, you know, you've got to have a successful footy team. That's the end all of the NRL, I guess. You know, you've got to have successful footy teams, but you've got to remember the participation numbers on the coast, as an example, this is the example I use. You know, we've got 6,000 juniors and another couple of thousand over the border, about 3,000 that Logan corridor, which, you know, all living within 100 kilometres of each other. So that's something like a bit over 10,000 juniors in that region. Then all of a sudden, they've got families and they've got friends, you know, so it's a pretty big rugby league fraternity in that region. So we just need to get them back, you know. You get them back through, you know, trying, you know, making sure that you're successful and you do everything you possibly can. Like I've said before, I think your community programs are really, really important in that area, because, you know, what you do for the community, hopefully you receive plenty back.
You may not be able to or want to, but with the Tyrone Peachey last night, that incident on the field, out the allegations of racial vilification, where is the club at with that?
I haven't I tried to ring this morning, guys, but I haven't found out where that is at the moment. What I believe it's just still on the field at the moment. So, yeah, we don't condone that, do we? We don't racial vilification or abuse, you know, as a in modern day, it's a bit silly. So, not quite sure where that's at the moment.
What's happening on the rep front, Mal? Anything happening? Is it any clarity around what's going to happen at the back end of the year after Origin?
No internationals, mate. So it's unfortunate it's not. But if you look at, you know, what's happened this year, on the back of Origin as well, you know, players, honestly, they need to get out of the bubble.
Yeah.
They need to have a normal life, don't they? You know, so, you know, I'm all in favour of, you know, the health of the players, the well-being of the players, and, you know, get out and experience life. It's been a tough year for them all, and they've handled it really well. So, yeah, we put that on hold and, you know, we'll wait till next year.
And, Mal, you'd obviously love the Titans to be there, but who do you think can go on and win the comp this year?
Oh, I still think the Roosters after last year, even though after last night, I think obviously, you know, the Panthers are right up there, the Storm, and I still believe my beloved Raiders can still make it, you know, even from fifth. You know, so I think it's out of those four teams, to be honest with you. But I have to say, you know, the Roosters would be my favourite still at this stage.
All right, big call from the great man, Mal Meninga. Always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
There is Mal Meninga joining us. We have so much to get to. As I said, 2 o'clock, Sterlo joins us. We've got our NRL Awards Coach's Corner with Nathan Brown as well, all ahead on the Saturday Scrum. We do it for King G.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.